Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I continue in the book of Matthew. Today is Matthew 13, verse 44. My message as we are continuing in connected to Christ is this. Today it's about hidden treasures. Hidden treasures. Treasures are considered a quantity of precious metals, of gems, or other valuable objects that are buried or hidden or lost. Usually, you mine for treasures. Treasures are not always just out in the open. Treasures are hidden. You dig for it. You delve for it. You look for it. You search for it. Those are the words we need to remember today. You search for it, you dig for it, you look for it. That's what makes treasures. What you have in your jewelry box is your jewelry. It's not considered a treasure when it's before you. It's considered a treasure when it is not vividly in front of you. Is that understood this morning? So there are many times for buried treasures, you see people with treasure maps, and the treasure maps will mark the location of where the treasure was buried or hidden, where this valuable secret item, what the location is. And if there's no map, the treasure seekers, well, they'll have to work so hard to get to it. Can I just throw in right now that we have a treasure map? We don't have to dig for, we don't have to go search for, we don't have to go on our own. We have a treasure map. It's called the Holy Word of God. It's called the Bible. It is a map that will take you through everything in your life, but it will take you into even the secret things of the kingdom of God. And so, historically, people would be searching for hidden treasures. It was a common thing in those days. And they even have a terminology that's called blood and treasure. And that was used to refer to the human cost of lives when they were seeking for these treasures. It would be such a massive cost to find these hidden things. But can I tell you, the cost for our treasure is already paid. Glory to God. And so today, treasures are commodities, treasures are secrets, and treasures are people. And God has the commodity. It is the Word of God. And God has the secrets. It's buried in His Word. When you get to read it, He begins to reveal things to you that you never knew existed. Even the same passage that you've memorized or you've known on your life, He will reveal a new secret out of it because the treasure is so deep inside the Word of God. But treasures are people. God considers us His treasure. Isn't that good? So let's look at what today's parable says. Matthew 13, verse 44. This is the parable of the hidden treasure. And it's the parable of the hidden treasure. In 2 weeks, I'll be preaching on the parable of the pearl. That's June 4th, I believe, that Sunday. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Let me hear a woo-hoo. Yes, we celebrate Pentecost. That's what gives us the vibrancy and the life that Christ has left us. So next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm looking forward to a great message. I have a special guest who will share for about 5 minutes, but I'll be preaching, and I'm looking forward to us walking through the Word and just embracing the power of His Spirit. But the week after, I'll be doing the second part of this message, which is Matthew 13, 45, and it's about the pearl. So I want to encourage all the women on the June, whatever that Sunday is for, I think. Would you wear your pearls? Okay, you've got them hidden. Pull them out. If they're in a safety deposit box, your grandchildren will not know the value of them. So pull them out and wear them. And men, if you have a pearl, give it to a woman, please. Give it to a woman. You shouldn't have that. Should not. Praise God. Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Let me read that again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. When you discover a treasure, there's excitement. It brings excitement. That is why I'm always saying to you, I find joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I find joy in being a part of the kingdom of God. There's no drudgery to this. If you find it to be dry and boring, you got to get into the Word of God, because there's no funnier book than the Word of God. And there's no more joyful, pleasureful entity than being in the kingdom of God. And if you happen to know just some boring Christians, or some that, like I always say this, if you know Christians that look like what? I always say it, last year's leftover pickle that didn't go back in the fridge. You can change seats anytime you come to this church, because we want you to ooze from the joy of serving Jesus. Can I hear an amen this morning? The greatest treasure is fulfillment of God's will. The greatest find is when you find God's will and you're living and fulfilling it. That's where the greatest treasure is. And Christ values his treasure. He gives us the best treasures. And so this passage places a high emphasis on how Jesus values us, his followers. When we choose to follow Christ all in all his ways, when we follow him in his will, we become his treasure. And I want you today, if you've not been serving the Lord, or if you've backslidden, or if you're not committed to Christ, you're going to do so today. Make the decision to do so today, because you're missing out on the valuable part, the essential part of being in the kingdom of God. And this passage represents those who are serving Christ, followers, but it also represents those who are yet to come. Those who are yet to come to Christ. Do you know why? Because Christ knows where they are buried, hidden. And for whatever reason, they're not found their way into the kingdom of God yet, but God has the map on them. He knows where those treasures are. Some of you, you've got some treasure in your family, and they're hidden, but I want you to feel a joy in your heart today. God knows their number. God knows their address. God knows their location. We don't need Pirates of the Caribbean to find them. God has already put his finger on them. And this is why we know the one thing that Jesus Christ our Lord will not tolerate is when we devalue anyone because we have set a set of parameters and standards against them to hinder them from reaching the kingdom of God. God has broken down all barriers, and that means that we need to remove the man-made dogmas and restrictions that keep people out of the kingdom of God. God does not look well on those things. In fact, in one of the explanations of the parables that are before us, the one that just went in Matthew 13:36, here, let me read it. Then leaving the crowd outside, Jesus went into the house, and his disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." And Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed represents the people of the kingdom of God. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels." Verse 40, "Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world." Verse 41, "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears who hear should listen and understand." This was preached a few weeks ago, but I needed to highlight it because it comes just before verse 44. And what the Lord is reminding us here is while we see evil escalating and while we see the name of Jesus Christ being defamed, please remember it's only for a season. Sometimes we despair as if this is the end of the story. It is not the end of the story. The end of the story is my Jesus wins. Come on, folks, your Jesus wins. And so God's season is a season of grace, and he allows everyone the opportunity to come to know him. But I want you to know, we do not get the right to diminish people or devalue people. It doesn't matter who they are. God has their map. God knows their location, and God has his eyes on them, and his hand is hovering over them. Why? He created all human in his image, made for his glory, to worship him so that they are living in his good pleasure. In fact, Paul, the apostle who wrote the New Testament, was Saul, the killer of Christians. And God didn't write him off. God raised him up. Why? Because he had an ingenious mind that God knew he would use to build the kingdom of God. There is a treasure that God had hidden in Saul, and he pulled it out in Paul. So whenever people are hindered from their potential, everyone suffers and generations lose out. Folks, when we hinder people from their potential, today I'm speaking to everyone, church, to the saved, the unsaved, the churchgoer, the church visitor, it's to everyone here, because God has special people that he has special gifts in that will bring something to the kingdom. And in this decade, we're going to have to call the gifts in from everywhere. There are hidden people with things inside of them that God created, an ingenuity that God created to build up the kingdom of God. And instead, it's all building up the kingdom of the devil. But the kingdom of God, we're restricted, we're hovering, we're suppressed, and we don't want to expand our minds and our creativity. God is a creative God. A creative God loves creative people. Amen. I have this little movie clip I want to show you, and the reason, just before you put it, the reason I'm going to show it to you is I love this movie. It's a true story. I love true stories. If you see me watch anything, it'll usually be true stories. I love true stories, but this one, and what I want you to pick out from it is, there are some ingenious people that may be kept suppressed, but when you loosen them, what God can use them to do, not just for the now, but for the future. Just take a look at this little clip and see what God had created.
We all gonna end up unemployed riding around in this pile of junk.
You're welcome to walk the 16 mile.
Or I'll sit in the back of the bus. Like that. Kiss me
up. You have identification on you?
NASA, sir.
NASA?
I had no idea they hired.
There are quite a few women working in the space program.
Least I can do is give y'all an escort.
Three Negro women are chasing a white police officer down the highway in 1961. That is a God-ordained miracle.
In 14 days, astronauts will be here for training. And we're shooting a human into space, and it's never been done before.
With the launch of the Russian spy satellite, the president is demanding an immediate response. Running from the
man. Space test group needs a computer.
Catherine's the gal for that. She can handle any numbers you put in front of her. You and I are
different from each other. This is about inventing the math, because without it, we're not going anywhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, it's an
uphill battle. Get it, girl. But yes, who
else is playing? I don't know if I can keep up in that room.
Just make that pencil move as fast as your mind does.
You've been gone for 300 hours.
It felt like it to me, too.
Colonel Glenn launches in a few weeks. We don't have the math figured out yet.
There's no protocol for women attending.
There's no protocol for a man circling the Earth either, sir.
Every time we have a chance to get ahead, they move the finish line.
I need to be in that room hearing what you hear.
Within these walls, who makes the rules?
You, sir, you are the boss. You just have to act like one, sir.
We have liftoff.
We all get there together, we don't get there at all.
In the fight of our lives, people.
My gals are ready. We can do the work.
More than 50 million Americans watching.
I got a warning light.
Go find Catherine.
Colonel Glenn.
There's a real fireball outside. It's getting a little hot in here.
Three women who helped to shape history were never acclaimed. Thank you, Lucy. They were never acclaimed until this movie was put out, because someone dug up the history of NASA. Hidden treasures. And folks, there are many hidden treasures among us, walking among us. And what God wants is for us not to determine in our own fleshly way who belongs to God, or who is precious to God, or who we believe should be a part of the kingdom of God. Our judgment at all times is skewed, but God has his hand on people, and God has some hidden treasures waiting to be found, and we get to be treasure seekers and graciously and excitedly seek them out and bring them out and let the Spirit of the Lord do his work upon them. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That is why people who do not love seeing others come to Christ, people who do not love seeing the lost found, you are in jeopardy of not making it into heaven. Let me share the heaviest thing that you need to know, those of us that are Christians and been following Christ for a long time. If you don't love seeing people get saved and come to Christ and find their way in Christ, your entrance to heaven is iffy. In fact, I could be real and say it may not even exist. And that is the truth. Why is that a truth? It's a fact, because God despises those who despise the lost. Luke 19:10, it was Christ's purpose for coming. For the Son of Man, Christ, came to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose. And so Jesus considers every human God's creation, his precious prize and his special treasure. We don't get to write people off. We get to dig deep and see what is it inside of you that can be used in the kingdom of Christ. That is why God hung on the cross. He didn't hang on the cross for special only some people. He hung that all people would receive eternal life. And if you despise people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you despise new people, if you despise seeing the rough and the unedged, if you despise them, you despise what God loves. Can I share that strongly enough today? Because this is what the kingdom is about. And folks, we're going to see some messiness in the years to come. Some of us are going to say, oh, Jesus, take me home. Because when you've got a cannabis store on every corner, there's a lot of crazy people going around. I think we're going to have to make sure that we get healing from Jesus, because I'm not even sure the next generation of doctors will be. Anybody scared yet? Something is off, but God wants to clean up the sheep. What does he say to us? He says this. This is why he hung on the cross. In John 10:27, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. They know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. This is the part. I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. And he continues to say, no one can snatch them from the Father's hand, because the Father will give them to me. There is a generation of people that must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get to be treasure seekers. We get to look at some. Do you know what the problem is, folks? We look at people's hideous behavior and we're like, oh, they're so wretched. Look at what they're doing. We need to look at it and go, that is ingenious. Do you know some of the things they're doing is absolutely ingenious? But then we just like, oh, you're so wretched. You're so wicked. You're so this. No, the mind is capable of so much. We need to be praying that into the kingdom to turn the devil's field upside down. Imagine if we get some of those radical, unkept, unharnessed ones. You know why we don't want them in the church? They'll mess you up. Isn't that so? Folks, we need that. How many have kids that you could see their creativity? And if you didn't help it, what would happen? You squelch it, and then they don't know themselves, and then they just keep rebelling. But when you begin to harness, that is ingenious, and then you channel it. We need to be channeling people into great things in the kingdom of God. We've got so many things that can be done for the kingdom. We have so many areas that should be reached, but we're trapped trying to just sing the song, preach the quick message, collect the offering. You're lucky if I give you some. And then We have a faithful church. Online, we have a faithful church. God bless you. But here's the folk thing, folks. God has hidden treasures. And they're in fields that we don't understand. It says when the man found the treasure, he says, ooh, this is sweet. Bury it now. Bury it. And then do what? And then go and buy the field so he could tend it, so he could dig it, so he could mine it. That's what the miners do. When you see them, they go down deep, and then they go deeper. And they go, you know, they're risking everything to go that deep. Folks, would you risk everything? Let's go deeper and see many more come to the kingdom of God. We can't be seen by the world as, oh, they're so put together. You just got to dress right, smile right, drink right, one right. And they're like, I can't do that. I'm just like off the edge, you know. Can I tell you why God sent me to you? Because I'm like them. I understand that type of world because I've always been considered, is she well? There's so many of you that have thought that too. Yes. But God has put in me a resilience to stand strong in the things of God. And there are people when they come, they'll be unbreakable. They will mess up the kingdom of darkness because they know the tricks of the enemy. Let's get ready to harness their talents and their gifts. It's going to come with, when you dig for treasure, it doesn't come up clean and polished. It comes up messy. And then you take it and you polish it and you clean it and you do whatever you have to do, and then you make it the real treasure. Folks, that's what God wants. There's hidden treasures among us. There's hidden treasures in our community. Let's go for the gold in them and not just see them as rebellious. Oh, glory to God. I take very seriously seeing the possibility and the potential of all of God's people. Believers, we have a responsibility. I'm going to hammer this in today. We have a responsibility to the world to harness talents. When we harness in the talent, they didn't get that talent on their own. It came from God. And so it's God's gift inside of them, and the devil can use it for evil, or we can use it for good. I want us to remove the religiosity and begin to dig for the things that are inside people and be ready to be a little bit shocked. Oh, that's the part that hurts. Shocked, Pastor? Don't you think we should stay a little pious and starched? No, that will kill the next generation. We're going to have to be a little lighter. Oh, but Pastor, I believe in the Word of God, and everybody should be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm with you, and I preach on the Holy Spirit. Next week will be a powerful service, and I want everyone to be filled. But you got to catch fish before you can clean it. Believers, we have a responsibility to seek after the treasures that are hidden, the treasure that is lost, the treasure that is buried even in evil ground. Honestly, when you look at what some people are doing and you say, if they would use that for the kingdom of God, the world would be turned upside down. Isn't that it? If they would turn those things over. And the parable of the hidden treasure describes the kingdom of God. John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but God's purpose is to give a rich and satisfying life. While the devil wants to steal and kill and destroy, God says, but my kingdom is about giving a rich and satisfying life. Some people think that God wants you to be saved so you can be bored. He says, what, John 10:10, what? A rich and what? Satisfying life. God is happy when you are happy, and God is sad when you are sad. Why? Because he created all emotions. There's a time for sadness and a time for gladness. In Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. But if you're living in a sad, 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 sad world, you're missing the seasons of God in your life. God wants us to be satisfied. A kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything and bought the field. The role of discovery is excitement. If you're not excited when you discover that people have a potential, something is wrong with your heart. Hear me today. So let me just share a couple of funny stories about treasures. It'll help you when I get to at the end of my message. Funny stories about treasures. So here's three I'm going to share with you. Hidden treasure stories. Here it is. A couple and builders fight in court over 400,000 pound cash hidden inside their new home's wall. So who keeps the money? And it says that when 400,000 pounds was found in the wall of a house being renovated at the time, naturally there was a dispute over who got to keep it. The builders thought it belonged to them since one of their employees found it. I bet that employee wasn't going to get it. Whereas the couple who owned the property thought they should inherit the house. Neither of those parties got to keep the cash after the court ruled it should be returned to the heirs of the man who hid it. Well, that was a shock for the couple. Number two. A contractor who found $182,000 in currency hidden in a bathroom wall has ended up with only a few thousand dollars, but he feels somewhat vindicated. The windfall discovery amounted to a bit more than grief for the contractor who couldn't agree on how to split the money with the homeowner. The contractor was tearing down the bathroom wall of an 83-year-old home near Lake Erie when he discovered two green metal boxes suspended inside the wall. He called the owner, a former high school classmate who hired him to remodel the house, and they counted the cash and posed for photographs, grinned and joked about it, but then they ended up in court because one offered 10%, the other wanted 40%, and things got sour from there. The last one I'll share with you. Another interesting case took place in the fall of 2005 when a couple bought a house in Trois-Rivières. The seller was a bank which had repossessed it from a former owner of an alleged head of Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. When the new owner began to renovate, a plastic bag containing $100,000 fell out of a panel in the bathroom's ceiling. Don't go digging up all your bathrooms today. I see everybody going, what's in this? Is there something? What did they leave me? The owners turned it over to the police, and a court later ruled it was the proceeds of crime, so it belonged to the government. That one's sad. These stories pique our interest. However, while these tantalizing thoughts are floating in our minds, let's remember something. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find. The proceeds to sell everything he owns to raise the money and buy that field. That's what Matthew says, Matthew 13, 44 in the Message. But here's the thing. So what should we do when we hear these stories of hidden treasures? We begin to be excited about the hidden treasure in the lives of people. We'd be excited about people being found for Christ as you would about finding the riches. When I was reading about the 400,000 pounds and your mind started thinking, oh, that would be good. How many had a little thought there? Don't raise your hand. But the same thing when we're talking about lives, your mind should be percolating. God, if we could find some ingenious, strong people to invest in, again, God, help me to see the potential in them. When I see them doing crazy things, I should say that should be done for the kingdom of God. That should be done for the kingdom of God. And folks, I want you to know today, the gospel of Christ is so precious. It is, the treasure is the gospel. The gospel of Christ is so precious. Whoever finds it finds life, finds joy, finds hope, finds peace, finds power, finds all the promises of God. The treasure, the gospel must be hidden in our hearts, protected, but also shared with others so that they can be a part of it. When I shared those stories, you see, most of the fights was about sharing the treasure, but we should never be keeping it all to ourselves. They end up in court until they lost most of it, but we should never be keeping what we have to ourselves. I've hidden God's word in my heart that I will not sin against Him. Sinning against God is ignoring God's people, ignoring others. We should desire to sell all, repent of all wrongs, turn from evil intention, and have this thought in our mind, God, help me to find the precious treasures in lives that need to come into the kingdom of God. On June 11th, we're going to have the opportunity to meet one of our world changers. That's all I'm going to say, is a world changer who recognized that the treasure of the gospel can be given to a nation where no one else would ever go. We're going to hear her story, and you'll see a clip at the end of this service. But we should have that same natural outflow of excitement, knowing that we have found satisfaction in Christ, and we want everyone else to have that same satisfaction. Folks, that's what it's all about. The treasure is the gospel. But lastly, the treasure is your life in Christ. Your life in Christ. I'm skimming through here because I had something here I wanted to share and I skipped over it. And it was so important. I was going to say, do you realize, where did I stick it? It's in my notes somewhere. Oh, do you realize that Elon Musk kids, one child is worth $23.6 billion? 23.6? 23.6. Did you hear me? I didn't say million in case you heard million. Put a B on it, billion. Every time I think about that, I'm like, you're born into $26.3 billion? There's no room for you to understand the satisfaction of life. I think I shared it last week with you. That's why it was in that note. There's no room for you to understand the satisfaction. Do you know where you get the deepest satisfaction? Is when you're starting with nothingness. Anybody with me? Now, yeah, next generation, you're like, are you kidding me? I couldn't start with nothing. I don't find no satisfaction. Can I tell you, when you have nothing and see the miracles of God, not a devil in hell. Can mess you up. So here's what I want you to remember. The treasure is your life in Christ. The treasure is also your life in Christ. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is your life in Christ. You are God's treasure. There is greatness in you that has not been tapped yet. And many of you are buried. You're buried in your field of doubt, buried in your field of despair, buried in your field of disconnection, buried in your field of disappointment. So you cannot see how valuable you are. But your value in Christ is intact. Despite the mold or the dustiness, the rustiness, or whatever is in you, your value is intact with Christ. He does not have a devaluing system. He is the God who created you and has kept his value upon you. And it's time for you to come out of the walls of your life and see your potential in Christ. I'm speaking even especially to the next generation. Your potential is vast. Don't just begin to judge it by other people. Oh, so and so. Doesn't matter what anyone's doing. Be yourself. You know what I love about me? I am the best me you could ever find, and I can't be any other me. And even when I do crazy things, I'm like, it's me. Be the best you can be, but just be a godly version of the best you. And then you'll find satisfaction in the Lord. The parable of the hidden treasure is about giving up all for Christ, recognizing your value, and recognizing others' value. And when you have given up all for Christ, you're going to find treasures all around you. That's what I love, is the amount of people I've been able to touch and lives I've been able to influence. Why? Because I just walk in my own skin and my own shoes, and I'm like, I'm a treasure from God. Like it? Some people like gold, some people like silver, some people like pewter. It's your choice. But it does not change my value. Nothing changes your value. So someone doesn't like gold, and you're gold. So someone doesn't like silver, and you're silver. Somebody doesn't like pewter, some people like pewter. Oh, no, I don't. Some people like, what is pewter? You're the best you that God has ever created, and you're a treasure of God. When you get to know that, it's easy for you to treasure other people because you're not comparing and you're not fighting, you're not striving. You're just willing to say, hey, I found something that I want you to be a part of. And God begins to grow everything in our lives. Knowing that God does not devalue anyone and he desires all to have abundant life should change how we view everything in life. So here's the thing. The map to the treasure is the Word of God. The map to the treasure is the Word of God. So I want to ask you today, do you know the price that Christ paid for you? And then the second question is, do you fully know your value? Do you know your value? Just pause for a minute and ask God, God, help me to know my value. I think that's the biggest struggle of society today, is we devalued ourselves, so we try to devalue others. Would you today ask God, show me my value? What I loved about that movie clip that I showed you is those women were against culture and against the times. They were against the grain. And to sit in those ways and to push through, they had to know what was inside of them and just keep giving it. And they had to give it in insult and in hardship. They had to give it in seasons when it was most difficult. I remember growing up in Quebec when I was very, younger teenager, and my parents had moved to Ottawa, and I moved back to Montreal to take the job with Air Canada. And I went to get an apartment, and when I arrived, and we, over the phone, it was available, and I got there, and it goes, oh, you know when you hear, oh, you're like, it's a pitch too high. And this is, I'm sorry, it's rented. I said, oh, okay. I just walked away. You don't fight the devil, you beat the devil. So I walked away. Then I went, I have a very close friend, Francophone, and we're like sisters, and I went to her house. She said, it's rented, but I know it's not rented, it's me. So she says, okay, I'll call and I'll rent it. So she called and she set it up, and then she went and she walked in, and the lady toured her and gave her the lease, and she goes, oh, I got to get my friend to come in because she has to see it. So I walked and I went, oh. And then sometimes you just need to beat the devil at his game. I didn't take it because she didn't want me there. So never push yourself where you don't belong. God has something better for you, you know? And the miracle of that, actually, I ended up with an apartment closer to downtown that I could walk to Air Canada. Walk. And I'm thinking, and it was cheaper. Sometimes when the devil messes you up, it's God setting you up. Don't blame the devil for everything. Enjoy the journey. Do you know the price Christ paid for you? Do you know the value He has on you online? If you've not given your heart to the Lord today, anyone in this place, you can't have the satisfaction without having the relationship. They come together. Do you know fully the value Christ has on you? I want you to bow your heads and I want you to just pray to the Lord right now and say, God, show me my value. God, remove all of the things that have caused me to devalue myself, the doubts and the fears and the blame. Sometimes we blame everyone for everything. I'm not appreciated. I'm not this. I'm not that. And we allow the enemy to steal everything out of us. Know your own value in Christ. Know your own value in Christ. And in the name of Jesus, allow the Spirit of the Lord. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to fill your heart. Worship team's going to sing this song for me. And in a moment, Father, I pray, God, that you begin to speak to people. Speak to people. God, the value you have over lives right now is so deep, so entrenched. God, they're gold that are deep in the walls of society. They are silver that is buried, oh God, in strange places. God, there's different types of commodities existing right here. And God, they're different and varied, but their value is intact with you. God, remove the fear and the doubt and the oppression, and let everyone begin to hear the voice of the Spirit that tells them the commodity of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.